This is Tuesday, October 22nd, 2019. Can the host of the Omnic Weekly and I contain the hype for a possible new Overwatch game announcement? This is episode 296.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bastions and Wrecking Balls, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Brian Black, also known to many of you as Ro, and this is the last episode of the show before BlizzCon 2019. And you know what? November 1st can't get here soon enough. Today's show is full BlizzCon hype from top to bottom, including Pat Crane from Convert to Raid joining me for some RNG. And speaking of BlizzCon hype, there's this little BlizzCon virtual ticket contest that I've been running for a couple weeks now, and it's time to announce the winners for that. So, congratulations to Staban, Ben Hearthstone, and Micah Cash on Twitter for winning a BlizzCon 2019 virtual ticket. I'll be getting codes out to the three of them ASAP. Also, if you happen to be participating in the Rolling Restarts giveaway, be sure to check at RestartCast on Twitter to find out who won virtual tickets in that show. As a quick reminder, don't forget to go to bit.ly/realm2019 to participate in this year's Realm Maintenance BlizzCon Challenge. The person who scores the most points on the prediction challenge will win $25 in Blizzard balance, and a randomly selected participant that enters by October 25th will also win the same prize. Once again, that's bit.ly/realm2019. Entries for the contest will be closed a week from today, so don't wait. That's October 29th. I'll give you my predictions near the end of today's show, and we'll see how right or wrong we all are in a couple of weeks. Usually, I'd go around the world of Blizzard in 80 seconds right now, but yeah, there's not really much to talk about right before BlizzCon. In fact, there's less to talk about this year because, as of this recording, the floor map and panel schedule haven't been revealed. We don't even know who's participating in the closing ceremony yet.
Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
And by Circle K, I mean Blizzard Entertainment. So, for now, let's move right on to the show notes segment, where I take a quick look at shows that have reached a milestone, have a guest on, or holding a giveaway, or they're just simply talking about something that caught my attention. First off, I'd like to congratulate Seraphis and his many regular guests on The Sundering on recently hitting 400 episodes of that show. As you can imagine, the recent incident regarding the Hearthstone Grandmasters player Blitzchung and the aftermath from Blizzard's decision on that matter have been a hot topic on many podcasts, and not just Hearthstone ones, so it won't be too hard to find discussion on that, and there are a large number of podcasts that I feel tackle the subject respectfully. Honestly, too many to list here. You'll get that on the weekly podcast roundup. In Hearthstone guest appearances, you can find the return of HS Top Decks writer James Corbett on episode 124 of the Tier 5 podcast. Frodan and Kibler were absent on the latest Omnistone, but I still recommend checking out episode 112, in which Firebat is joined by Ike and Pathra to discuss not only Hearthstone, but the latest game to enter the field of competitors in that space, Legends of Runeterra. In WoW podcast news, I want to give a quick congrats to For Azeroth on hitting 100 episodes. Jocelyn Carney can also be heard on the latest edition of Azeroth Roundtable, and the table is rounder than usual because Scott Johnson from The Instance also dropped by to catch up with Ben and John. The Final Boss podcast is about to hit 200 episodes. I imagine episode 200 will be a BlizzCon preview show, but before that you can catch episode 199, which puts a focus on Beastmaster Hunters and includes guests Roger Brown from Method and WoWhead guide writer Mufzi. As for myself, well, this is a busy time for me on WoW Podcast, so I guess I might as well shamelessly plug where else you can hear me. I was on the most recent episode of Girls Gone WoW and WoW Challenges, and over the next week you'll be able to find me on Azeroth Roundtable and all things Azeroth for their big pre-BlizzCon episodes. And now for something a little different. Friends, Warcraft 3 is being talked about on podcasts after all these years. Not only can you check out some of the latest info about Warcraft 3 Reforged on the latest WoWhead Weekly, but there's an entirely new podcast dedicated to the game that you might want to check out as well. That show is called Fast Expand, a Warcraft 3 podcast hosted by Kendrick in partnership with Heroes Hearth, and you can find it by going to the Heroes Hearth website or checking out the Heroes Hearth Warcraft 3 channel on YouTube. You can also download the audio-only format on Spotify, Simplecast, and iTunes. As for Blizzard's other games and their podcasts, we're definitely in the calm before the storm, as it were, but there's still a few shows I suggest checking out before BlizzCon. The latest Westmarch Workshop features Nineball, Leviathan, and Dreadscythe together to make their annual BlizzCon predictions for the franchise. The Cool Story Bro podcast is also back from a long break with a new episode if you want more Diablo in your ears. If you're a fan of StarCraft, and more specifically the first StarCraft entry in the franchise, you might want to download episode 68 of The Pylon Show, which includes a special interview with Grant Davies, the lead engineer on StarCraft Remastered at Blizzard Entertainment. Kyle and Garrett from Into the Nexus continue their discussion with Not Paradox on team drafting in Heroes of the Storm. You can catch that on episode 291. Overwatch podcasts are mostly talking about free agency in the Overwatch League and, of course, all the speculation for BlizzCon. One show that stood out here was episode 100 of the Overwatch League Network. A big congrats to that show, which celebrated by inviting longtime Overwatch podcaster Slambo, who you might know from the Cavalry, to reflect on all the recent league changes and the past 2 years of Overwatch esports. Last but certainly not least, World of Podcasts 2019 begins this Sunday with the Pod Before the Con, a special Warcraft-themed show live-streamed at twitch.tv/conbeforestorm. Voices from across the Warcraft community will be gathered to speculate and celebrate. Frazzly from the Frazzlecast will be moderating, and he'll be joined by Allie from All Things Azeroth and Dungeon Fables, Berserker from Unshackled Fury, Tosh Mifune from The Half-Hill Report, Clanker from The Torn and the Goblin, Jerrystar from Technically PvP, and Frosty from The Worgen's Howl. Don't forget, you'll be able to listen to this show and all of the World of Podcasts panels from Con Before the Storm on the feed for World of Podcasts, and in some cases on the feeds for the shows participating in these panels.
Cheers, love! The Cavalry's here!
And that must mean it's once again time for your weekly podcast roundup. The following is an insanely quick rundown of every podcast I know of that covered a Blizzard game and released an episode between October 14th and 20th of 2019. For General Blizzard Podcast, we have Blizzard Watch, Frozen Nerds, Geeks of Azeroth, Group Quest, The Instance, Jewels and Coffee Hour, Rocky Mountain Blizzcast, and The Sundering. Your World of Warcraft podcasts include Azeroth Roundtable, Convert to Raid, Control It Wild, Do Not Relent, Dungeon Fables for Azeroth, Final Boss, Frazzlecast, Girls Gone Wild, Half-Hole Report, Lion's Pride Tavern, Lore Watch, Morley Grey, Pwncast, Rolling Restart, Starting Zone, Stories Around Azeroth, Technically PvP, Twisting Nether, What Weekly Reset, Whispers of War, Wild Challenges, Wild Talk, and Wildhead Weekly. Wild Classic shows include Countdown to Classic, Death Talk, Taverncast Adventures, and WoWNilla, Fast Expand covered Warcraft 3, Inside the Tavern for Hearthstone, we have 1600 Dust Anger, Chicken Arena, Sensei, Blizzard Hearthstone, Brewmasters, Coin Concede, Doctor 3, Happy Hearthstone, Hearth Casual, Hearth Coach, Hero Powercast, Lightforge, Omnistone, Squelch, Tier 5 Podcast, Walk to Work, and Well Met. For Diablo, we have Cool Story Bro, The New Meta, Shattered Soulstone, and Westmarch Workshop. The Pylon took care of StarCraft, Into the Nexus covered Heroes of the Storm, Overwatch shows include Heroes Never Die, Low Team Damage, Omnic Lab, and Omnic Weekly, and finally, for Overwatch Esports, we have Blackwatch Report, Broverwatch, High Noon, Mayhem Maniacs, On the Flank, Overwatch League Network, Plat Chat, Push to Point, Ready Set Pwn, and Tactical Crouch. You can catch a weekly podcast roundup during this show and at the end of the Rolling Restart podcast. For links to all of the shows I mentioned and more great Blizzard podcasting content, go to realm-maintenance.com. That's your podcast news for the week. There's plenty of show left, so let's move right along to our podcast spotlight interview. My guest this week is the host of an Overwatch podcast that has been doing its thing for quite some time now, and I've been meaning to actually cover this show for a while. He is the host of the Omnic Weekly podcast, and with BlizzCon 2019 on the horizon, I imagine there's going to be plenty to talk about and speculate. D from Omnic Weekly, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, actually.
It is good to have you on. And now, of course, as people might be familiar with me and Overwatch goes, I'm a fairly casual Overwatch player. I will watch Overwatch League from time to time. I'm still sad that NYXL wasn't able to make it to the grand finals, but it is what it is. I'm not a fair weather fan of them. I will have hope for them for next year.
Yeah, well, I think we're in the same boat then, because I'm kind of the more casual player myself, and I follow the Overwatch League from a distance, like, you know, with a bit of popcorn on my lap, just watching my screen once in a while, and just continue working, because I'm always working, but kind of keeping an eye on it, not too deep into it. So I think we're on the same line here.
All right, right on. Well, Omnic Weekly, this show's been going on for some time now. Take me back to the beginnings of it. What is it that motivated you to create this Overwatch podcast?
Well, I've been an avid listener of podcasts for the last, let's say, 10 years, even more. I'm pretty old when it comes to the community. Like, I'm 44, so I'm one of the older group, I guess. But anyways.
You are just as old as I am, believe it or
really?
Not.
Oh, really? Oh, nice. Yep. Like 75. Best year ever. Like
indeed, indeed.
Best wine and best people. That's what they say, at least. But anyways, so I've been listening to podcasts my whole life, including gaming podcasts like The Instance and stuff like that. And about 3 years ago, well, March is going to be 3 years, I started the Omnic Post, which is actually an Instagram account about Overwatch. And I started a website and started recruiting people to help me out with the website because, you know, an Instagram account is a lot of work, but I can handle that by myself. A website, that's a different story. You need people to kind of, especially because you can tell by my accent, I'm not a native speaker. I'm from Belgium. So for me, it was kind of difficult to get those quality articles out there that I wanted. So I just recruited people to do that. And I was like, what if I pick some of these people and we start a podcast? Because I like talking about games. I like podcasts. So in January, I think it was 2000. I need to go back now. Like, I think it was 2017. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. No, 18. We're going to be 2 years old in 2020. So January 2018, I just grabbed some people together. Episode one was recorded. I think there was a panel of four to five people. And we started building from there, like with all these crew members, we pulled in someone differently every week. But we ended up kind of getting this fixed panel with Hannah and LP, my two co-hosts, that really gelled, that kind of sounded cool. We kind of can bounce off each other. And I think, let's say 6 months later, we had this fixed format that we're still sticking to with Hannah and LP. So yeah, we've been at it almost 2 years pretty soon, which is, that's long.
Once you make it even past 1 year, I mean, that's saying quite a bit. There are a lot of podcasts I know that will get out there and that they don't even make it 1 year. So make it past the 1 year point is quite a milestone. And from there, I think it's usually pretty much smooth sailing as long as, you know, yourself and your co-hosts have fairly good availability. You're main consistent, and I've seen quite a bit of consistency with this show. Now, going to your co-hosts really quick, since they aren't here with us today, Hannah and LP, can you talk a little bit more about them and just what their background and familiarity is with the game?
Yeah, sure. Well, the fun thing is Hannah is from the UK. LP is from the States. He's from Florida. He's that Florida man that everybody's talking about. That's him.
That would be Bay from Final Boss. He's Florida man, just for the record.
All right. So let's call him the alternative Florida man, then, I guess. Okay. They both started out writing for the website. Hannah more on all the lore and the more like the game-centric stuff. And then we had LP, who was really focused on esports. Now, Hannah has always been writing for websites and stuff about games, especially Nintendo. She's a really big Nintendo fanboy, so this new release on the Switch is totally her cup of tea. She's really happy. And then we have LP, who has always been a big fan of esports, but he was not really involved and he wanted to do something with it. He was actually studying to be an air conditioning technician and stuff like that, and he started writing for us on his phone. I'm not kidding. He was using his phone to write full articles, and he did a really great job.
Wow.
He's
that's
dedicated.
Dedication when you're writing articles from a phone. I mean, I know how long it takes for me to text someone.
Exactly. And the typos that I make just in sending a text message to, let's say, my mom. No, he pulled it off. He did really great. And then he got involved with the Florida Mayhem. So he organizes events for the fans in Florida. Mm. But then the Mayhem picked up his organization. So now he's working for the Mayhem and he's doing all that. So he stopped with working for the website. We kind of shut down the website because websites are kind of, well, in my personal opinion, that time has sadly gone. I'm more a believer of let's use social media and the channels where people are at to bring content, but that's a different story. Anyways, he kind of focused on everything that he's doing with the Mayhem, but he keeps doing the podcast because he just likes talking to us. And while Hannah has been writing for other websites, and she still helps me out occasionally with the Omnic Post, like on BlizzCon, I'll be in LA, which will be really, really difficult to get every post out. Then I have Hannah to fall back on, and she helps me out. So they're kind of my, how do you call those? My friends that always have my back, my posse. They're standing behind me, always got my back. And that's why I like talking to them every week. Just for an hour and a half, we just yap, basically, about the game we love.
Awesome. Well, it's pretty cool, I think, that you have Between the three of you, you have kind of a balance between you have someone who's into esports, you have someone who's into just writing in the lore and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And yourself, you had mentioned at the top of the interview that you consider yourself more a casual fan of Overwatch. So I guess one thing I have to ask you as from one casual to another, what is it about Overwatch that keeps you engaged and interested in talking about it, especially considering that the game's been out for 3.5 years now?
Yeah, that's indeed a good question, actually. I've always been a Blizzard fan. Like, I've played World of Warcraft, StarCraft. Like, I've been playing these games for 20 years, and I have statues on my shelf to prove how long I've been paying for my World of Warcraft subscription. And it kind of makes me feel like, oh, was that a good investment? Yes, it was. But but then that one BlizzCon where they introduced Overwatch, I did not really play shooters at all. I played the occasional Call of Duty and stuff like that, but never like in a competitive like scene or something. And then they announced Overwatch, and my first gut reaction was, "Wait, what? Blizzard is doing a shooter? Oh, yeah." But then I started checking it, and I got into the, because I was already writing, or I was involved with a magazine here in Belgium, a gaming magazine. I got the chance to play it in beta, and it just grabbed me. And what grabbed me was these characters, like the stories behind them, the personalities, like Reinhardt, the way that he's just there, present, always with that booming voice, that stature. And one of the guys that occasionally joins me on stream that plays with me uses the beer emote often, and just that big German guy yelling beer, beer, beer. It's just come on,
you gotta love it. Great as a voice actor.
Exactly. So all these small things just do it for me. It all comes together. The graphical style. I'm a graphic designer myself, so when I see something that's beautiful, it works for me. Like, I really have to. The Pixar style that they use, stuff like that, it gels for me. So that's kind of what kept me going for all these years, and the improvements that they keep making. And of course there's stuff that I would like to see different, but that's with every game, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, as every game gets, you know, on with age, there people are going to be like, well, what can be done to make the game better? How can the game improve? What directions can the game go? And I mean, I was going to ask you this a little later in the interview, but we might as well jump to that question. Why not? Looking at where Overwatch is right now, this year we had Baptiste and Sigma released. We're now in a world where competitive play is, you know, 2 DPS, 2 support, 2 tanks. You have all the usual stuff that we've seen for the past couple years. The arcade, of course, has made things great, and now people can make their own kind of custom arcade mode content, as it were. Yeah. What do you think is left? Where do we go from here for Overwatch? And I guess what I'm trying to ask is, what do you want to see announced for Overwatch at BlizzCon, whether it's feasible or not?
Well, there's these rumors going around that make me really excited, and that's the fact that we might see a different game in the Overwatch IP world, whatever you want to call it, in the that universe. And the things I would like to see, first of all, I think, yeah, and that's a worry for a lot of people. Will the original game still be relevant? Of course, that will always be a thing. That's something they're building on. They have the Overwatch League. They invested millions. We can kind of trust that that will continue. There's stuff there that I would like to change, like the whole loot box system. I live in Belgium, so I cannot buy loot boxes.
Really quick here, just for those that may not be familiar with that, because I mean, I remember that, you know, Belgium has a thing with loot boxes. How does Overwatch work then in Belgium? Can you only get loot boxes through getting them by playing content then? Is it faster than outside of Belgium? Like, do they alter the acquisition, or is it just people in Belgium get loot boxes very slowly?
The second one. It's not sped up at all. Belgium is so small. It's like for them, it's not even a market that's important. Sure. Like, they just throw it all together. And I can understand that. Like, we're thrown together with Holland, and now they threw us together with the Nordic countries just business-wise. So I can understand that. They're not going to make major changes, invest in those changes in their whole system. But I think they can see.
Can you be gifted loot boxes from other people?
I have not tried that. Actually, I'm going to try while I'm in the States to buy some and see if that works. If I can, my account is, of course, tied into the fact that I'm Belgian. Like, they can have information. But when I'm in the States, I'm not on Belgian soil, so they might allow me to do that. But I haven't tried that. I should try that. I should ask my co-hosts to maybe send me some. That's a good excuse, actually. It's just, guys, send me some loot
boxes. That'd be an interesting workaround, because I mean, like, if it happens, if someone buys loot boxes for you in the United States, they aren't breaking Belgium law.
No, they're not.
By them buying it in the States and then sending it to you. I don't know. One would have to think they don't allow that, because I would think that if they did allow that, people would be talking about that workaround already.
This has
been around for some time.
Yeah, exactly. And probably there's some legal, like, small things, small print, where they kind of can, that kind of disallows them to do that. I guess, to be honest, I just think that when they heard about Belgium being a bit of a hard ass about loot boxes, they kind of pulled the switch, just like, okay, this is just a section of the loot box ecosystem that we're going to disable for whole Belgium, and it includes like gifting everything just around it. So I think they just kind of switched it off. But so yeah.
As far as Overwatch goes in terms of a new game using the same world and stuff, are you looking for like single player campaign mode, or are you looking for just something that's entirely different that's in the Overwatch universe? Basically, are you looking for PvE mode all the time or something entirely different?
I'm in for some really heavy PvE and some really serious lore development, story that I can venture through over the course of several weeks that kind of have me evolve my character within that world. More like, they all started out with Titan. The whole concept started out with Project Titan back in the day, which was an MMO they were making, kind of nudging it back in that direction, making sure that we get the story, because it's such a rich world. The story behind it is so intriguing. There's so many factions, there's so many things at play. It kind of is a comment on the way that our society is developing, and I think there's so much room to kind of work with gameplay to kind of roll through that story and make sure that we kind of have an adventure that we can play over, let's say, 40, 60, maybe 100 hours. 100 hours might be a stretch, but something like that. And there could be a PvP element into that. I think the gameplay should be kind of different. I don't think it should be a shooter, but that there's a small PvP aspect to it. That would make me really happy to see that happen.
I would love to see a Borderlands-esque Overwatch game where maybe you don't play as any of the iconic characters in the competitive Overwatch game. Maybe you play as a soldier of Overwatch and you create the name and stuff like that. Yeah. And you have your own abilities or stuff based on the type of gear you acquire, and basically an Overwatch looter shooter, and have it be tied to a campaign and stuff and interact with those Overwatch characters. Or maybe have two stories, one where you play as Overwatch, one where you play as Talon. There's so much possibility for that. If they come out with that, if they make a looter shooter, create your own character, customizable type of game set in the Overwatch universe, then I am never, ever buying Borderlands 3, and I'm so in on that game.
Yeah, you just throw your money at them, and you're like, okay, give me that game. No, I agree. I'm so looking, like, there's so many things I would like to see in there that I'm looking forward to that press conference, to that opening ceremony, and just surprised by what they're going to. If they don't have anything, I'm just going to find a table and flip it. Like, I don't care where the table is. I'm just going to find a table and flip it.
You feel like there has to be something, right? There has to be something more than just Diablo 4. I mean, everyone's kind of expecting Diablo 4. If Diablo 4 gets revealed, that'll be awesome. And I'm not saying that would be bad, but I think there's this set, this level of expectation for that. Overwatch thing, there have been rumors about it, and I feel like when it comes to the Overwatch thing, people have heard the rumors, but they're not entirely confident that's actually going to happen. So if Overwatch does something crazy like that, I think that makes BlizzCon 2019, unless they come out with an entirely new IP that no one's even thought of.
Oh, yeah, that's still a possibility, too. But what gives me hope is last year we were all hyped up about Diablo 4. We had these same rumors going on that we have now with Overwatch 2. Like you said, Diablo 4 is almost a given. Like, after what happened last year, they cannot get away with not announcing Diablo 4. They're kind of in a corner there. But the week, or like 2 weeks or 3 weeks before BlizzCon, they did an official statement like, guys, we love you. You guys are really hyped about Diablo 4.
Right.
But we're not going to announce it. Right now, the same thing is happening with Overwatch 2. And all of them are just looking at us with a really weird ass, a smile on their face. Like, I saw a panel today. It was at an event here in Belgium. And Johnny Cruz, the voice actor for Lucio, was there. And one of the questions that was asked him was like, is there an Overwatch 2 that is coming? And he just smiled really weirdly. And he said, I can't deny nor confirm that that is happening.
Yeah,
and he just smiled. You can, exactly. But these days, that's just confirming that something is happening. Now, the thing that could still happen is that they will not be announcing it at BlizzCon. But
they
would have released, maybe it happens tomorrow, you know, maybe tomorrow or the day after that, Blizzard comes out like, guys, we know you're hyped, but we're not going to announce Overwatch 2 just yet. And that will be really, really sad. But I don't know. I think this is going to be the BlizzCon that will be remembered for years to come. And it will be a new Overwatch game. Diablo 4 and World of Warcraft will get a new expansion that will kind of set new boundaries for that whole IP, that kind of breaks it open and gives us a next level.
That franchise needs a game changer. It needs a game changer on the level that Legion made people go, pun intended, wow. Their next expansion needs to make people go wow again. And it needs to do things that haven't been done before in that game. But that's an entirely different discussion.
It is. I
want to get back just really quickly to a couple things here. As far as your show goes, as much as we've been talking about, you know, just what the next Overwatch thing is, what you and I are hyped for and what we're looking forward to. And I've listened to a number of your episodes, and I would say it's safe to say that your show is what I would call a general Overwatch podcast. It kind of tackles all aspects of the game, from casual to competitive to esports to lore and all of that stuff. So from your point of view, since there are so many aspects of the game and so many play styles, who do you think's going – what kind of listener – what kind of player is going to benefit the most from checking out Omnic Weekly? What do you think are your show's strengths?
I think we kind of feel, and sometimes we go a little overboard with that, that we are a group of friends that just are posting about the game on a daily basis over the week. And they get together in a pub, a bar, I don't know, in someone's living room and start talking about the game. And sometimes we kind of deviate from certain topics and we start talking about the weather or stuff like that or whatever, cats or whatever you want to. But people that kind of enjoy listening to three friends talking about the game, not getting to, we don't want to go into the numbers of every change that will happen to a hero. And we're not going to depth to players that are transferring what the strategy is that behind all that. We kind of stay on that surface. And if you just want to stay updated on what is happening in the game, and I want to hear friends talking about it like you would do with your own friends, I think you'd be in a good spot listening to the Omnic Weekly. And if you have a favorite Bastion skin, but that's something, if you ever listen to the Omnic Weekly, you'll get that joke. It's LP. his favorite Bastion skin stuff.
My favorite Bastion skin is the BlizzCon skin.
So you are the guy that is, oh, okay, now I get it. I found you, man. We were wondering who is that one guy that likes that skin.
I'm that rare unicorn who likes the BlizzCon skin for Bastion. I am the one.
Can you remember the days they gave us skins for like that for BlizzCon? And now everybody is like upset because they have to pay €40 or $50 to get those awesome looking skins. It's a totally different era now.
And Genji isn't Illidan enough.
I had someone that told me, like, I like it, but he looks too feminine. And I was like, what?
Huh?
Okay, maybe, but it's Genji. Come on. Yeah. Well, opinions.
Well, I mean, we don't know how feminine Genji is underneath all that armor, so maybe it's accurate. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Who knows? Yeah, exactly. Who are we to judge anyway? So.
Right. Well, Dee, it's been a pleasure talking to you about both your show and Overwatch. Obviously, the hype for BlizzCon 2019 is pretty real. I'm definitely looking forward to it, as I'm sure all three of your hosts, all three of you are.
Yeah.
So, how can listeners get best connected to the Omnic Weekly? Where can they find you on social media and otherwise?
It's fairly easily just Omnic Weekly on Twitter and Instagram. Those are our main channels where we communicate about the episodes. But you can find us on all the well-known podcast platforms, rather. So Spotify and SoundCloud, stuff like that, iTunes. Just Omnic Weekly. It's so easy to find us there. So go check
it out.
It's
a pretty easy name. As far as Overwatch podcasts go, it's not a hard one to find. At least that's what I've noticed when I've done my roundups.
Thanks.
Dee, once again, thank you for being on the show. It's obvious that you have a great passion for this game and for your podcast, and I look forward to hearing many episodes to come in the future, man. Thanks for being on.
No worries. It was my pleasure to be here, man. Thanks for inviting me.
It's once again time for RNG on the show. Of course, RNG never stands for random number generator here. And to help me figure out what it does stand for right now is none other than the host of Convert to Raid and the moderator for the World of Warcraft panel at this year's World of Podcasts, Pat Crane. How you doing, man?
Hello, Ro. I'm doing fantastic. Thanks.
It's great to have you on. It's weird to say host of Convert to Raid again. I mean, I know you've changed it back to CTR from Battle.net News for a while, but everything that's old is new again, you know?
Kind of. Yeah, I mean, it seems like over the span of time, I mean, it seems like WoW has come back. I mean, you know, I'm talking, we changed it, you know, kind of after Warlords and stuff like that. I mean, you know, it was like, oh, where is WoW going? We just weren't sure. So we started covering more and more other games of Blizzard. And now we're like, okay, you know what? WoW has got their stuff unlocked now, so let's just do WoW. Let's just cover that. That's good. Everything else is fine. The other games are great, but let's just do WoW.
And now you just need to cross your fingers and hope that Blizzard isn't too amazing, or you may have to run two podcasts.
right, exactly. So, yeah, BlizzCon will determine the show's future. No, not this show's future, but all shows' futures.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, well, as for RNG, I already know what the N and the G are going to stand for. What I would like you to do is come up with an adjective that starts with R.
Let's see. How about red-nosed?
Okay. Well then, folks, this week's RNG stands for Red-Nosed Newsroom Gymnastics.
Nice.
I don't know what kind of gymnastics one does in a newsroom, but whatever gymnastics are being done, people are getting red noses over it.
Well, you know, if Rudolph has anything to say about it, there's going to be some games going on.
Yeah, I mean, a newspaper is black and white and red all over, I guess.
Sure.
Oh, that was bad. Okay, well, moving on to our questions here. The first question is from our last RNG guest, and that was Medros from All Things Azeroth. The question that he put out there was, how much do you hate it when people troll you on podcasts? And having Fist as a co-host pretty often on the show, I have to wonder what your answer to this is.
I love it. You know, it's like if somebody's going to come up with something silly or whatever, I love that stuff. So I'm totally down with it. The more people that give me grief, the stronger I become.
What doesn't wound you makes you stronger.
That's right.
All right. Okay. Next question. This is one that I was inspired to ask because I've just noticed that there are more and more podcasters that are dipping into other podcast genres and such, like Dungeons & Dragons podcasts. So, Pat, I have to ask you, if you were to create a character for a Dungeons & Dragons campaign, what would you make?
That's a good one. I think I would probably come up with a warrior type, but I would try to make sure that he would be like chaotic neutral, just to make sure that you're always kind of throwing something weird into the mix.
So the oddball in the mix. Okay. Any idea for like what kind of race would be a human, an orc, an elf?
I would probably have to go with an elf or an elf combo type of deal. I don't know. It's just something about the elves. You know, you get to be really nice and tall and lean and fast. And, you know, it seems to be a good play style for me. Nimble. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And good looking most of the time.
Well, thanks, bro. I'll take the compliment.
I think I'm more of an orc warrior myself than an elf warrior for sure. All right, next question. This one is from the random question generator. What do you like most about your family? And if for that, I'm going to let you define family however you consider it, whether it's your your actual family or your guild, however you want.
Sure. Well, my actual family has always been pretty weird, which is kind of lovely in a lot of ways. I mean, it's like my sister's a geologist and she's really smart, but she's also really down to earth and also gives me lots of grief. So, of course, this is why I like lots of grief on my podcast.
So wait, you're telling me she's a geologist and she's down to earth?
Yes. Yes. Did you like that? My brother, he's 20 years younger than me, almost 20 years younger than me. And he always gives me a hard time because I never know what's going on in his like little pop culture bubble. Mm. So, you know, that's always nice. And everybody in the Crane family is pretty damn cool. So that part I really enjoy. As far as like my guild family, my online family and stuff like that, I tell you, the people that I meet on a regular basis or the people that I hang out with on a regular basis are some of the coolest folks that I know. And the online folks have become a tribe in a way that no IRL folks have, which is kind of cool. You know, it's kind of nice to have a tribe, you know, IRL, and then also a tribe online that you can come back to and hang out with. And especially now that I'm freshly moved over to California within the last, you know, year or two. I guess it was last year at this time. So now I'm even further away from my real life family. So it's kind of nice to be able to just pop online and come join my fam.
Where everybody knows your name.
That's right.
And they're always
too. It's I don't know about that, but they're always nice about it.
All right. Speaking of online, we'll go to a WoW question here. We have the 15th anniversary of World of Warcraft coming up really soon, and we got an anniversary raid as well, celebrating a lot of famous raid bosses. I would like to know, what is your favorite raid in all of WoW, and why?
Oh, man. I really love Firelands. Mm. And I think that was like the first one that I was like, yeah, this is my jam right here. And I don't know exactly what it was. I don't know if it was because it was kind of a throwback thing with Ragnaros, or if it was because, you know, Ryolith had really bad knees, or if it was because, I don't know. It's just like the characters and stuff like that. I really loved, who's the first dude, the hunter dude?
Oh, Shanix?
I can't remember his name. Yeah, Shanix.
Yep.
And him and his puppies, I just love playing with those guys. and even Beth-Talak with the web move.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was just so many cool raids. The environment was really great. And I think that was the first one where I was like, oh yeah. I mean, after Lich King, of course, it was like ICC was my first raid. Mm-hmm. Loved that one. But there was something about Firelands that I really loved as well. And I think maybe it just captured a little bit more of the classic WoW stuff. I don't know.
I can get that. Also, when I think convert to raid, and if I were to associate a raid instance would convert to raid, I would probably say Firelands, because you guys did such amazing coverage of that raid. I mean, you covered other raids great too, but especially the Firelands did all those legendary quest bits as well with Coltrane and everything like that. It's really nostalgic.
Well, yeah, and that was the first raid for the show. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was like, you know, it was all kind of fresh. We were trying a bunch of different things, and it was a new group of friends that were all playing together and having a good time. So, it was really, really kind of a very cool time to be playing, for sure.
All right. Next question from the random question generator. Kind of a deep one here. As the only human left on Earth, what would you do?
What would I do?
Yes, what would you do if you were the only human left on Earth?
Man, that is deep. That is deep. I'd probably, okay, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
I would find the nearest Hostess factory, wherever they make stuff. And I would take a crap load of Twinkies and I would lay them out. I would take them out of the package first, mm-hmm. and I'd stack them up to be like 10 feet tall and probably, you know, like a 20 by 20 mm-hmm. thing. And then I'd make sure to stack it next to a building. Then I'd climb up the building and see if I could drop how springy it was. Why? I don't know.
Because you can. That's why.
Exactly.
No one would say a thing about it. No one would judge you at all. Not even Thist.
Right.
That's great. All right. Next question. What would be your dream job, or what is your dream job that doesn't involve using a microphone?
Oh, gosh. What? I was like, I had so many different things prepared, and then you said that.
Throw them all away.
Ah, man. So let's see. I think that something. Oh gosh, maybe like. I mean, it's not really a dream job, but it would be like landscaping or something with the earth there, or maybe like adventure tour guide, like rock climbing or biking or something like that, something active, something like that. But I mean, it wouldn't be a dream job,
sure,
because all my dream jobs involve microphones.
Fair enough.
You know, I walk around with one all the time.
You know what I could see you doing really well?
What's that?
You've been to Disneyland a couple of times, right? I mean, I figured sure. BlizzCon and everything. I could see you being the tour guide on the Jungle Cruise.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be fun.
I think you have the humor for that one. I don't think you even need the script. You'd be able to think of all the bad jokes just like that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think maybe just a generic adventure tour guide.
Yeah.
Because I mean, for all that stuff, you need to have the puns and the jokes and the memes and all that. So yeah, that'd be good.
All right. Next question from the random question generator. Last one from there, actually. What's the hardest you have ever worked for something? And you can apply that to real life stuff, gaming stuff, however you want.
Well, for gaming stuff, I'm going to be quite honest with you. I'm one of the laziest gamers ever. So I don't necessarily, I don't do the blood sale thing. I never was able to do anything like that. It's like anything that involves more than just like, I don't know. It took me 2 expansions to get flying for Warlords of Draenor. So, you know, in game, I'm lazy. But, when I was just out of college, or actually it was just going through like the last stages of college, I got into radio. And that was the hardest I've ever worked. It was the longest hours, hardest hours that I've ever worked, because I was a little pleb and I was on the marketing team. So I was doing all like the street stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was driving the vehicles around, trying to, you know, I was working all the different events. And so I was putting in, I think it was 80 to 100 hours a week.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot of time.
You basically worked and slept, and that was about it.
Yeah, and I lost about 30 pounds. It was great.
Ooh.
It was beautiful. And then I gained it all back as soon as I left that job. Plus some more.
Yeah, I can understand that. I kind of wish I was working at my old store because I got to move around and walk around quite a bit more. Now I'm a bit more stationary at my current store, and it's kind of shown in the belly here.
Yeah. It's just you got to stop eating. That's the whole thing. Yeah. I got to stop eating. I got to stop eating entirely if I'm gonna make it any headway.
I don't know if I'd recommend that, but
probably
lots
not.
Of water. Lots of water. All right. Next question here. What is your largest bit of advice for a first-time BlizzCon attendee?
Ooh. Everybody is really nice. That's my advice is more of a statement, I realize. But you can use that for basically any reason to say hi to anybody. Everybody's really nice. Now, it's not like everybody's going to be your best friend. No. Probably not, but everybody's going to be really nice. And so if you know of a group or of a person that you want to meet, or if you want to go up to one of the developers, or if you want to, you know, get an autograph from one of the many voiceover guys that are going to be there that weekend, I would recommend that you go up to him and you say hi, and you say, I am a fan, or I like this group, or I know you from so-and-so, whatever it is, and I just want to say hi and thank you. And those people that you go up to are going to be so receptive to that. They're going to be responsive. They're going to, you know, talk to you for a little bit. I'm not sure, you know, some people get busy, but, you know, they're going to want to smile and say hi and say thank you and glad to meet you and all that kind of stuff. And you can do that with everything. And even when you're just waiting in line, say hi. Say, you know, if there are a couple of guys talking and you want to jump into a conversation, just jump in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the way that you make friends at BlizzCon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way that you find like groups of friends at BlizzCon is by saying hi and walking up to people and just trying to be brave like that. I understand it's hard for some folks to do that. But if you can do that, man, you can make some real headway at BlizzCon.
Yeah, you know, BlizzCon is a great place to go outside of your normal circle or box of friends because practically everyone there has very similar interests and is hyped about a lot of the same things, and you can make a lot of new connections that can carry over and last, and they can be as casual or serious as you want them to be.
Sure, and also I would recommend that if you are going for your first time, and if you're going by yourself, especially, maybe have a couple of goals in mind for what you want to accomplish while you're there.
Yeah,
and then that way you can kind of hone in on those important things, either first or as you can. But then you can also, you know, maybe do some ancillary stuff that kind of surrounds that somehow. So if your big thing is I want to go to the voiceover panel and meet all the guys from Overwatch and have them sign my book, that's your big thing. So then everything can kind of revolve around that. You can go to the Overwatch League stuff. You can go to, you know, wherever. You can kind of hop around and meet people along the way. And hopefully you'll find some friends that will want to join you as you go to the voiceover panel or whatever.
Yeah, I think the number one thing on my BlizzCon bucket list is meet Matt Mercer. I've yet to do that. I had two opportunities to do so, and the lines just were forever. And in both instances that their voice stuff was going on, it was like, hey, we have an interview for you to do for your podcast. I'm like, why at this time now?
Right. Why do I have to go into other fun things when I've got this one thing
there's
that I want to do?
Too much fun stuff to do.
Right.
All right. Next question for you. I think everyone is pretty much set on the expectation of a new WoW expansion announcement. It feels like that's practically a lock. So let's say that happens. What is one thing that you'd like to see in the next WoW expansion that has not been a big feature of a previous expansion. So what's something new that you want brought to the game?
Something new that I want brought to the game. Let's see. So the one thing that I really want brought to the game is no gear grind, no power grind like we've had, especially in this last expansion.
Wait.
What I'd really...
You're saying don't want it to be all about the loot?
Right. No. The loot is fine. It's just like the Heart of Azeroth this time around.
Oh, gotcha.
I don't want that. That can stay home. Mm. That can go away. The essences can go away. Like all the things that are like have been super grindy this expansion, you know, all that stuff. Let's make the super grind go away. That would be great.
That's so tricky because, I mean, that's one of those things where I think you're going to find the player base can be a little bit divided on it. I think there are players that definitely like that there's a system for progression. And of course, there are players like you and like me to a degree that feel that like that this is too much. This is over the top.
Or how about this? Or how about this? If we have another Heart of Azeroth type of thing.
Yeah.
Let's make sure you can work on it on your alts as well.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be great to actually be able to play alts?
Right.
In an expansion? That would be awesome. We used to be able to do that. Not anymore. I mean, especially as you get busy and stuff like that, you can't like grind, you know, 50 levels on your neck. It's like, ugh, you're just doing islands all the time.
I wonder if it's their response to keep people for asking for class quests, because it's like, well, when are you going to have time to do all the class quests if you're too busy grinding?
That and no more Titan forging. That would be great.
Oh,
no more whatever.
That you may get that wish.
I know. And I'm really hoping that we do, because that seems like an artificial way to just frustrate folks. So I don't know. The one thing that I actually do want from starting in the next expansion is Paragon levels. I've said this on CTR before, but Paragon levels would be great, where we just don't worry. It's not actually a numbered thing. We're not going from 130 to or 120 to 130. We're just getting 10 levels in the next expansion. That would be wonderful.
I have made kind of that prediction. I feel that we're going to go from level 1 to 20 in the next expansion, and it's not going to be anything above 120. It's going to be 1 to 20 for that expansion's content, just like professions have their own expansion levels now.
Right, because I know that they were talking about a level squish, but then they stopped talking about it.
Yeah.
And so I'm like... Why have we stopped talking about it? Are we actually going to do the Paragon levels that I've been talking about for whatever?
That would be great.
That would be great. I would love that.
I'm a fan. All right. That pretty much just about brings us to the end, but two last bits of business here. First off, I need you to come up with a question for the next guest on this segment. So it can be a question about anything. It can be Blizzard and gaming related, or it could be something entirely wacky. I will let you know, though, you cannot ask the question milk before cereal or cereal before milk.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a difficult question, though. I mean, I think that tells more about a person than any other question out
there.
Whether
they're a human or a monster, I agree.
Right. Right. Exactly. My guess is that the person will probably be a creator of some sort. Right? Mm. Like a podcaster or a streamer or something along those lines?
It'll likely be a podcaster. I think I know who it's going to be. It'll be someone from a Blizzard podcast. It'll likely be for the BlizzCon reaction episode and such.
All right. So here is the one thing that I would like to ask a podcaster.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite piece of equipment and why do you hate it?
Okay. Specifically podcasting equipment, or anyway?
Like recording, streaming, any of the bits that go along with the podcast part.
All right. as we can testify from our earlier experience before I hit the record button here, you probably have an answer for yourself.
Oh, yeah, sure. I think I have a couple.
Well, Pat, thanks for spending some time here on the show today. It's great to have you back on, and I definitely want people to check out everything you're doing with Convert to Raid as you keep on going, moving right along ever so closer to episode 400, which really isn't 400 because it's more like, what, 500 and something when you combine everything together?
Well, I don't know. We're saying that we're at 360-something, mm-hmm. 368 or something like that right now. I think there's been some more in there, but I didn't want to.
It's a lot,
everything.
Okay? It's a lot.
It's a lot, yeah.
But how can people get best connected with you and the show?
So the show, you can always find it at ConvertToRaid.com or online on Twitter at ConvertToRaid. Myself, you can find me on socials pretty much in a bunch of places anyway, at Pat Crane with a K.
All right. Once again, thank you for being on the show, and best of luck to you moderating the Warcraft panel at World of Podcasts. I think it's going to be a blast.
Hey, Ro, yeah. I just want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Now, do you have any advice or any questions that you would like to know from the Warcraft panel?
Are you cool with the idea of a Warcraft themed mobile game? And if so, what kind of game would it have to be to have you interested playing it?
Ooh, I like that. And yes, and fishing. That's it. Or pet pals. Just put them in the phone. I don't want them in the game. That's good. I like it, Ro. I'm gonna see what they think.
Don't call it Warcraft Immortal.
Right. Absolutely not.
Thanks for being on, man.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we are almost near the end of the show, but as I mentioned, I have some predictions about BlizzCon 2019 I want to make. Now, I will give you a heads up that the following predictions that I make may not match the predictions that I give on Azeroth Roundtable's prediction show, which is being recorded later on this week. The reason why I say that is because right now I have the questions in front of me, the questions that I made up, and it's very possible that I change my mind on Friday. So, hey, if I change my mind, I change my mind. But for the purpose of this show, the following predictions are going to be what I'm going to be judged against, and we'll see how many points I score compared to you guys. And once again, all these predictions I'm talking about are part of the Realm Maintenance BlizzCon Challenge. You can go to bit.ly/realm2019 and participate. You have until next Tuesday to get your entries in. So, without further ado, all of Section 1 first covers Warcraft. Will the next World of Warcraft expansion involve the Shadowlands? I'm going to say yes, although I will say on top of that that I don't think it's going to be the primary central focus. I think the Shadowlands will, you know, it'll be part of the story. It may be, you know, part of a patch or something like that. I just don't see us spending our entire time in the Shadowlands. Unless they do something like this whole Nyalotha thing where the Shadowlands is just kind of an alternate version of Azeroth, Stranger Things, Upside Down World style, something like that. Next question. Which of the following best describes the release date for Warcraft 3 Reforged? Now, there's several options here. I'm just going to simply say I believe it will be announced to be released within 4 days of BlizzCon. It's going to be what you kind of call a shadow drop. They're going to talk about it and say, and it's ready to be played now. They might say the beta is ready to be played now, considering that there hasn't been a beta test for this stuff yet. But I do believe that at minimum, an open beta that everyone can participate in that's bought the product will start within 4 days of BlizzCon. Next question. Which number best describes the level cap for the next expansion? Again, I'm not going to read off all the options. I'm just going to give you my answer. I'm going to say that the level cap is going to be 60 or lower. And I'm going to go one step further and say I think the level cap is going to be 20. And when I say 20, I mean, I think that our characters are going to be leveling from 1 to 20 in the next expansion, and that leveling is going to be tied to expansions the same way it's tied to leveling professions per expansion. I've mentioned this a couple times on this show and the Rolling Restart, but that's basically the way I see leveling. We're going to go from level 1 to 20 in the new expansion. That doesn't eliminate all the progress and stuff that you've did before. It's just a separate kind of leveling system. Next off, which of the following best describes what will be announced for WoW's next expansion at BlizzCon? So, this is the new class or new race question. Do I believe we will have a new class? Yes, I do believe we'll have a new class, and I'm hoping it's Tinker. There are a lot of hints for Tinkers. Volpera and Mechanomes could definitely be Tinkers. There's a lot of classes that could be Tinkers. I would absolutely play a Tinker, and I think that there will be a Tinker class announcement. I will probably be totally wrong on this. Do I think there will be a new race? I don't think there will be a new race playable at the start of the expansion. They might continue the whole allied races thing, but I believe that races aren't as big an announcement or a selling point anymore when you are announcing allied races and releasing them on a semi-regular basis now. It's just kind of become part of the content flow. So, new class announcement, allied races, or a new race, I don't think so. So let's just say new class. Based on the information revealed at BlizzCon, who is the primary antagonist of the next expansion? This is the two-point question, and a whole bunch of options here on the challenge. I'm going to say... I'm going to be wrong on this because I'm just going with my heart on this. And this is the reason why I put it as one of the answers. It's going to be the Infinite Dragonflight. So if it's Murazan or any member of the Infinite Dragonflight, I win. And nobody else will choose that question. You know, I actually have stats that could tell me so far how many people picked each of these answers. But that would make this segment extremely long, so we will just move on. Moving on to Diablo. Which of the following best describes the state of the next PC game for the Diablo franchise? Basically, is it going to be announced or not, and will it be playable or not? I believe that Diablo 4, or whatever it's called, will be announced at BlizzCon 2019, and I believe some portion of it has to be playable at BlizzCon. It just has to be. Next question, will the new Diablo project be called Diablo 4? Like I said earlier, yes, I think it will be called Diablo 4. It may have a subtitle below it, but I think it'll be Diablo 4 or Diablo 4 colon something something something. Will Tyrael play a role in any new content shown for any Diablo game? And this may include Diablo 3 or Diablo Immortal. I'm going to say yes. Will any of the content announced for the Diablo project at BlizzCon 2019 include player versus player gameplay? You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it did, but I'm going to go with no on that, simply because Diablo's never really been known to be a player versus player thing. Now, the exception to that is, what if they made a fighting game in the Diablo universe? We already have that in Overwatch teased at, called Soulstone or something like that. A Diablo fighting game would be great, and trust me, if they announce that, I'm on board. I don't think it's going to happen, though. So, no PvP talk about Diablo. At least, I don't think, not yet. Which of the following best describes the state of the mobile game Diablo Immortal at BlizzCon 2019? This is the two-point question for Diablo. I think it gets brought up at the opening ceremony. And I still think it's playable at BlizzCon. Now, I originally was going to say nothing about this, but Warcraft 3 Reforged data mining has shown us that there is a Diablo Immortal cart that's part of some of the skin content for Warcraft 3. With that in mind, I feel like there has to be something about Immortal being brought up, and there's been some hints and speculation that Immortal, an announcement regarding the state of Immortal, is going to be brought up, and it might even be available in a limited beta test before BlizzCon. So, it'll be mentioned in the opening ceremony. It'll be playable at BlizzCon. I don't think it's going to get a whole lot of attention or hype because people are going to be more interested in whatever the other Diablo thing is. Next question. In Overwatch now, will a new game be revealed at BlizzCon that takes place in the Overwatch universe? This is what Dee and I talked about in our interview, and I'm simply going to say yes. And if it's a looter shooter, praise Jeff. next question. I put in a picture of Echo. She was one of the characters shown in the cinematic last year. And the question is, will Echo be seen at any point during the opening ceremony or any Overwatch panel? I'm going to say yes, but I don't think she's going to be a new character for the current Overwatch game. Rather, I could see Echo actually being a key character in whatever the new Overwatch project is. So that's going to be my guess for that. We do see Echo, but hey, not necessarily for the main Overwatch game, but she will be seen. What type of new map will be revealed for Overwatch? Control, Escort, Assault, Hybrid, or no new map will be revealed? I'm going to say no new map will be revealed because they're going to focus their Overwatch attention on a new hero reveal and whatever the new Overwatch project is. Next question, how many characters of the current playable roster in Overwatch will be seen in new cinematic footage for the Overwatch franchise shown at BlizzCon 2019? This includes new projects. A few different options here. I'm going to say, I think we're going to get two types of cinematic scenes tied to Overwatch, one for the current game, one for the new one. Probably a new character reveal that incorporates, you know, one or two current characters. I think the new project's going to have a few characters in it too, so I'm going to put my bet at 2 to 4. That might be undershooting it. I think, you know, man, I really think it's going to be 5 or 6, though. I said 2 to 4, and I just changed my mind. Okay, we're going to say 5 to 10, because that's one of the options. 2 to 0 or 1, 2 to 4, 5 to 10, or more than 10. We'll say 5 to 10, and I'll probably be right, probably. Next question, what will be the length in minutes of the new animated short revealed at BlizzCon 2019? Enter 0 if you don't believe one will be shown. So this is a 2-point question. You will get 2 points if you're within 2 minutes of the guess. This is for Overwatch. Like for, they always do an animated short for Overwatch, right? So this shouldn't be any different. Most of them have fallen in the area of about 7 minutes, so I'm not going to deviate from that, and I'm going to say 7 minutes. Alright, moving on to Hearthstone. Will tournament mode be announced for Hearthstone? No. Much to my disappointment. Do I want tournament mode announced in Hearthstone? Yes. Do I think it will be announced in Hearthstone? No, because I have been disappointed too many times. Charlie Brown at some point stops going after that football. The football is tournament mode, and Lucy, you are not pulling it away from me one more time. No tournament mode announcement for Hearthstone. I still want it. I'll be happily surprised if it's there, but I do not believe so. How many new cards containing the word lackey will be shown at BlizzCon? The word can appear in the name or elsewhere on the card. I'm going to say 2. We'll have one lackey reveal and one card that somehow interacts with lackeys. Which of the following minion types will be mentioned to feature prominently in the next Hearthstone expansion? Dragon's the easy answer, right? Because this is the year of the dragon. People have been talking about Deathwing. The teaser image for set 3 has claw marks and makes you think dragons. So it feels like it really should be dragons, right? Do I just go for the easy bet? Yeah, I'll go for the easy bet. Let's say dragons. I do think that pirates could also be involved because I believe that this expansion will happen on the Dragon Isles. Moving on, which class will have a new card revealed for it first at BlizzCon? You have a 1 in 9 shot here, so I will just randomly say Paladin. Next question, how many total cards will be revealed for the next expansion during BlizzCon 2019? This is the 2-point question where if you're within 2 cards of the right number, you will get 2 points. You know, when they reveal these sets at BlizzCon, and when they reveal these sets in general, they don't reveal too many cards on the very first initial announcement. Now, mind you, the BlizzCon reveals reveal more than when they put out their, like, little video or such. But it's not going to be a large number. I'm going to say we get 8 cards revealed, so that could be somewhere from 6 to 10, and I'd still get points. Maybe that's low. Let's say 9. So 7 to 11 will get me 2 points. All right. More questions. We're kind of wrapping things up here. Will there be new content for any StarCraft game that is playable at BlizzCon? I'm going to say yes. I'm even going to say there is a StarCraft mobile game. Will there be a new game announced at BlizzCon that is part of an entirely new IP? In other words, it's not tied to any of the current franchises and universes. My answer is yes. Guys, we have gone up to... I'm recording this segment on the 20th of October. And as of this point, there's still that space in the BlizzCon key art. We don't know the panel schedule. We don't have a floor map. There is so much secrecy surrounding BlizzCon 2019 right now that there has to be a reveal of a new IP at this point. I think people are... There's the rumors and speculations about Overwatch 2 or a new Overwatch game, Diablo 4 and all that stuff. Here's the thing, though. Those are established universes. You could include characters from those universes in the key art right now and still fly the actual announcement of an Overwatch 2 or a Diablo 4 under the radar of everybody. If they have that space there for a new character, for a character that would give away something, wouldn't you think it has to be from a new IP? I really can't think of there being anything else but a new IP announced at BlizzCon 2019, and the character from that IP, featured in whatever main cinematic they show, is going to take that spot. So, yes, there will be a new IP. It's kind of crazy to actually say that and believe in it, but that's what I think right now. Next, how many mobile games involving a Blizzard franchise will be mentioned at BlizzCon 2019? Diablo Immortal counts as one. I already said Diablo Immortal will be talked about, and I think there will be one other mobile game announcement as well. I mean, I said StarCraft. Will it be Diablo Immortal and a StarCraft mobile game? Maybe. Will it be Immortal and a WoW mobile game? Maybe. But I'm going to stick with two or more. I think there will be two mobile games that are talked about BlizzCon 2019. That sounds crazy to say considering the backlash that BlizzCon got last year, but guys, mobile is a profitable direction in gaming. Blizzard's stupid not to develop mobile games. And I think they can talk about mobile games at BlizzCon just fine, as long as there's big stuff happening for PC and console gamers too. It's perfectly okay to have mobile games happening at BlizzCon, as long as that's not your big reveal. I think that's the important thing. Next question, will a Blizzard character be announced for Nintendo's Super Smash Bros. Ultimate at BlizzCon 2019? This is tricky. My heart says yes. I want there to be this announcement. But the realist in me, and also considering some of the recent events and just the weird interactions right now going on between Nintendo and Blizzard, regarding the Overwatch release, man, I'm going to say no. But again, this is one of those questions where I say no, but will be happily surprised if the answer is yes. If there was a Smash character announced for Blizzard Entertainment, I want it to be Tracer. I think Tracer would be, I think, the perfect one to put in there. Have an Overwatch character in there because Overwatch is available for Nintendo. I think doing a Diablo character would also be fine for Smash. I think you have to go with Diablo. My only thing about Diablo is Diablo feels like it'd be too similar to some of the bigger characters that are in Smash already. So, saying no, hoping for yes, hoping for Tracer, we'll see what happens. Next question, which franchise will the next revealed character for Heroes of the Storm originate from? I'm going to say Warcraft because there's more characters to choose from Warcraft than any other franchise. My second guess would be a new original character, but who knows? Alright, moving on to some miscellaneous questions here. Will any of the new content playable at BlizzCon also be playable via download for those that buy the virtual ticket during or within a week of BlizzCon? So this includes, like, demo content, PTR content, and stuff like that. I'm going to say yes, because they did mention some virtual ticket bonuses, right, that haven't been announced yet. And you would think that by this point, they would have said what those bonuses are. So the fact that they haven't revealed what those bonuses are, leads me to believe that they may be tied to stuff that we're going to be able to experience and participate in, if not during BlizzCon, if we have the virtual ticket, immediately after it. So yeah, I'm going to say yeah, sure, why not? Next question, which franchise will be represented by the overall winner of the 2019 costume contest? This is a two-point question. I am going to say Warcraft or Hearthstone because, once again, it has the most characters in it. Which franchise will lead off the opening ceremony? This is another two-point question, a big one. And I think the way the opening ceremony has worked in the past is they often go with a smaller franchise first. They have had big years where they've had major announcements for multiple games, and they don't start big and end big. They usually tend to start small, and if they have multiple major announcements, they'll put one in the middle, and of course they'll have a big one to end it off. So that being said, I think they start small. I think you start with StarCraft or Heroes of the Storm. I would coin flip between those. I'm going to say, Heroes of the Storm. I think it has to be the Heroes of the Storm character reveal, and then you go on from there. All right, next question. Which franchise will be the last one featured in the opening ceremony? This is worth 2 points. Okay, Diablo 4, everyone's expecting, right? So you don't make that your big reveal. You make that your middle big reveal. I think it's going to be the new IP. I mentioned there's going to be a new IP because of the blank space there. It pretty much has to be the new IP. Man, think about what I'm talking about here. I'm saying that there's going to be a new IP, a Diablo 4 announcement, a new Overwatch pronouncement. I mean, already this opening ceremony is going to be absolutely freaking stacked if everything I'm predicting happens, which means you guys better worry because I'm not great at predictions. All right, and the last question, this is the tiebreaker question for the prediction challenge. What is the total length in time in minutes that Blizzard president Jay Ellenbrock will be speaking on stage during the opening ceremony? You'll receive 3 points for being within 2 minutes of the actual time over or under, and 1 point deducted for every 2 minutes you are off from the answer. Okay, this isn't as easy as you might think. Because of all the stuff that's surrounding Blizzard, one has to wonder just how front-facing Jay Ellenbrock wants to be this year. Does he want to make a statement or a commentary on stuff that hasn't already been said through official means via, you know, the posts and messages and stuff? How much of a presence does Jab want to have in the opening ceremony? It's a tough one. My gut tells me he will be up there for some period of time. But I think it's going to be less than it has been in previous years for himself or Mike Morhaime. I think you got to really put more of an emphasis on the new content, on the stuff that's going to amaze and blow people's mind. Spend less time talking, more time showing. With that said, I'm going to put him at 7 minutes, which is very short compared to previous opening speeches and stuff. So 7 minutes, give or take a couple minutes. So if it's anywhere from 5 to 9 minutes, I'm right. Otherwise, I would lose some points. And folks, that's it. That is the Realm Maintenance BlizzCon 2019 Prediction Challenge from my point of view. I would love to know what your predictions are. If you have not yet participated, go to bit.ly/realm2019. Get in your answers to those questions, and we will go through all of these once again together and see just how well we all did in just a couple weeks, guys. I can't wait. And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press that play button and get ready for BlizzCon 2019. Whether you're checking it out from home or attending it in Anaheim, I hope all of you enjoy it. Of course, thank you once again for downloading. There are a few shows that I do here as part of Realm Maintenance Productions. This show, also The Rolling Restart if you follow World of Warcraft, and Hearth Casual if you are a casual Hearthstone player and looking for a podcast to add to your playlist. You can support all three of these shows by going to patreon.com/realmpodcast. Don't forget to check out realm-maintenance.com, where you can find not only the weekly podcast roundup, but a directory of most podcasts out there covering your favorite Blizzard franchises. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts for those games, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Realm Podcast or follow myself at Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Normally, this is where I would say the show will be back in 2 weeks, but it may be back a little sooner than that. So first off, you'll be able to hear the pre-BlizzCon episode of the Rolling Restart podcast on this feed next week. It's mostly going to be WoW and Overwatch conversation with a little bit of the rest on the side. Also, BlizzCon 2019 will be here on Friday, November 1st. And, well, since I'll be covering it from home this year, I'm going to look into recording some interviews with content creators and friends of the show to get their early reactions and thoughts about everything that's revealed. If I were you, I might start checking this feed as early as Saturday, November 2nd for some bonus content. Episode 297 will be available on Tuesday, November 5th. I can't reveal who or what will be on that show just yet, but I can't wait to share it with you. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2019, and is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. You can find more great shows at frozenfoxmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. The show's theme music is a cover of Call to Arms by Emma Fox. Thanks once again to Dee from the Omnic Weekly for being on this week, and Pat Crane from Convert to Raid. You can follow both their shows on Twitter at Omnic Weekly and at Convert to Raid, respectively. Thanks for your interest, your retweets, and your downloads of this show and others in the Blizzard podcasting community. And as always, thanks for listening.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.